You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by DOEE. So today we're going to be talking about, is gas gear acquisition syndrome really a bad thing for you, or is it, you know, kind of okay? Look into that a little bit. My personal updates, as well as some photos, news. So as usual, getting right into it, what I've been up to. In case you didn't know, I released the R6 review not long after the last week's podcast episode, and I also released the M50 Mark II review, both of those doing pretty well. Sadly, no comments. If you do have questions, make sure to reach out, comment on there. I'm happy to answer any questions in regards to the cameras. Obviously, if you ask anything video related, I won't have a clue because I don't do video. Otherwise, with most still stuff, you know, to best of my ability, I'll answer the questions. Still using the cameras quite a bit, still shooting with both, still shooting, I'd say, a decent amount. I went out and shot a cityscape just a few days ago, which was quite a good change because, you know, I've been doing mostly cityscapes. If you look at photos by DOEE, my website, mostly cityscapes, still a lot of still life, but not a huge variety in that sense. I've been trying to sort of focus on those, but I've been wanting to do something like a seascape, you know, something around the coast for a while. So I finally got that done at Bronte Beach. Though obviously those images won't come out for about another week at the time of release once I release that blog post. Otherwise, nothing else news-wise for me, photo-wise. I haven't really been doing much. Focus has been on work sort of thing and just finishing those reviews. Now that I finished them, I sort of want to do my other lens reviews, the 85, 50, and 35. I'm trying to make them shorter as well, not make them so long-winded. You know, try to keep it like under 1,000 words sort of thing, or, you know, 1,500 sort of words. Like with the M50 Mark II review, I felt like that one was really brief and I didn't go into as much detail as I would have liked, but then when I looked at the word count, it was still over 2,000 words. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe I just a bit long-winded sometimes when it comes to some stuff, but I think I could release a Tamron review very soon because I haven't done any more bird photos. I want to do more wildlife photos with it, but I just suck at them. So, and I honestly don't find the time half the time either. So that's where the challenge comes in. But see how I go, whether I decide to just release it now or not. You know, the way I see it is this lens didn't come out anytime recently, so it's not like people will be eager for reviews on it. So there's no real rush. But yeah, that's just me. So what we'll do is that is it for my personal updates. We'll get into the news. So it's been pretty slow in terms of gear releases, but I guess we've had a lot of, you know, releases recently, so that makes up for it. But Leica has unveiled their Vario Elemarit SL24-70 f2.8 APS-H lens. So I don't know why they call it APS-H, you know, because Canon used to have that as a smaller than full frame, but apparently this full frame lens, you know, is meant to have outstanding optical quality and obviously part of the L mount, so your Panasonic and whatever users, I think Sigma as well, can use it as well. 19 elements in 15 groups and 11 bladed aperture design, which is good to see. Makes it much more circular bokeh, which from what I've seen, and supposedly is meant to make the subject stand out and pop a lot more as well. At 24 millimeters, there's a minimum focusing distance of 38 centimeters. Oh, sorry, that's at 70 millimeters, it's 38 centimeters. There's only 18 centimeters at 24 millimeter. This lens weighs 856 grams, which isn't extremely heavy, but it's pretty average for this type of lens. Obviously, if you own a Leica and you want a 24-70, this is probably a great option. There is always the Sigma 24-70, which is an L mount as well, which would obviously probably save you quite a lot of money in terms of that. The sample photos included, nothing really sort of pops out and screams, I need to spend, let's see, $2,795 on this lens. In that case, you know, since it is US dollars, I'm pretty sure the Sigma is around 1,000 US, so you could get that plus a body, a Sony body probably for that price almost. So, you know, to me, not really worth it. But if you use a Leica and you want a 24-70, this might be the best option for you if you want to keep it all first party technically. The next news story we sort of reported on recently, they've been really upgrading in terms of photo wise. I think they're starting to set, you know, trying to take on Instagram in a way, but Twitter has finally rolled out full-size images and mobile feeds. So what that means is if you're using the Android or iOS app and you post a vertical image, no longer will it be sort of cropped to always look that 16:9 landscape ratio. It'll actually show the full image. I'm not sure if it's sort of rolling out different areas at a time or that you have to sort of log out and log back in, which you sometimes have to do for those changes to actually show. Because from what I remember seeing when I uploaded an image yesterday, yep, that was vertical. It was still cutting it off, wasn't doing full size. And what I noticed in my app store as well, there was no actual update for Twitter when I last checked as well. So I do hope that comes out soon and they do add it because, you know, I upload a lot of vertical images. So I want that out as soon as possible. It does say in the article as well, it may not show for quite all users yet, but it will be available to everyone. So I'm just thinking clear sachet, log out, log back in, and hopefully it should be showing. Now the quality, you know, 4K images plus that, it should help a lot, but I don't know what they would need to really take on Instagram. To me, from a marketing sense, they should just focus on the not selling your information part. Because, you know, for people like me that don't want, you know, people like Zuckerberg getting rich off my money, be my information being sold, you know, I would happily back Twitter in that sense and get behind them for that. But, you know, what they do, who knows? They seem to be focusing on the photo quality, so hopefully they continue to do that more and more. The next story is Sony related. So the end of A-mount, Sony has finally discontinued the last of its DSLRs. So if you didn't know, Sony used to make DSLRs called their A-mount, the A99-II, A77-II, and A68. Although they were still around, you know, obviously Sony never released any new A-mount lenses. Their whole focus has been the E-mount. They went all on it years ago and have for a long time. But now they pretty much just focusing purely on mirrorless, which is the correct choice to do. Because if you look at it, apparently the A77-II was launched in 2014. The A68 was 2015. And I think the A99-II was announced in 2016, according to Petapixel. So, you know, it's been a long time since there was any kind of announcement in the A-mount. And as I said, you know, the DSLR is honestly pretty much, it's not dead. Like, in the sense that if you get good photos with it, you enjoy using it, you can still use it, but there's nowhere it can really go in terms of growth and improvement. The main improvements you can get is mainly just sort of dynamic range and image quality, but there's so much more you can do on mirrorless. So it's dead in the sense that I don't see anyone, you know, Canon, Nikon, anyone, Sony, aside from Pentax, focusing on DSLRs anymore. That type of technology is dead. Mirrorless has sort of superseded it. The next thing, that's all you're going to hear about now. Mirrorless, mirrorless, and mirrorless. And the fourth story and final story is Venus Optics launches a Laowa Argus 33mm f0.95 APS-C lens. So this, you know, looks pretty nice for an APS-C lens. 14 elements in 9 groups. It's meant to be a, there's already a review up on it on Petapixel as well. I've linked to the actual announcement one, but it has a very interesting rendering. It's meant to have buttery smooth bokeh. And if you look at it, it's a very soft rendering. It's not like a more harsh, so mainly because the image is soft as well. It's the way they do it. So, you know, if you take a photo of it, say there's a, I'm looking at example images here. You have an example of your girl's eye. And if you take it on something like a Canon, you know, Sony, whatever lens, you'll see it's the eye's tack sharp, but the transition is often a lot harsher from in focus to out of focus. Whereas on this camera, the transition is very soft. It's almost like you have to really look and see what's in focus and what isn't because of how smooth that transition is. This isn't the type of lens that, you know, every single person, especially with an APS-C owner, would run out to get. It's more one of those niche kind of lenses that if you have a need for it, you want this kind of lens, it'll probably do a great job. Apparently it's available in Fuji X-mount and Sony E-mount for $500. And there's going to be, surprisingly, Canon RF and Nikon Z-mount available later in May. So obviously because the APS-C lenses, when you put it on those cameras, going to go into APS-C mode and crop the image to match that. But surprised they don't just release an EFM mount. Hello, they have an APS-C mount, but you know, I guess we'll see what happens with that. Well, that's it for the news. Now we're on to the main topic. So is gas a bad thing? If you're not familiar with the term gear acquisition syndrome, pretty much what it is people buying gear and always wanting to have the newest, latest gear, even if there's no need for it. You'll often hear people and photographers refer, you know, I got the worst gas, I just bought this lens, the gas is getting to me sort of thing. So is this really a bad thing? I thought I'd sort of have a quick look at it, discuss it, look at the benefits and the negative sides to gas and, you know, make my decision on if I think it's a bad thing. So first we'll start off with the positive. So the number one positive I can think of when it comes to gas is helping stores stay alive. So for huge chains, if you're in America, like Amazon, B&H, you know, they probably don't need those sales to help them stay alive because they're such large retailers, they got money from other areas. But if you're looking at your small mom and pop stores, as they're called, they probably do benefit from these sales. So if you think about it, if everyone was just to buy secondhand gear, obviously, eventually it would all disappear, because if everyone buys it, you know, it creates a scarcity. Whereas for older people out there who have gas, you know, we're constantly buying new gear and selling that old gear. So we're creating that stuff that keeps that market alive and the stores alive as well. You know, we're always shopping, always buying new stuff. You know, these stores make a lot of money off of us. So in that sense, it does have a benefit to society. You know, it helps the stores, helps the economy, helps the camera makers fund making new gear. At the other side, you know, as I mentioned, the secondhand market, you always have plenty of options because of people with gas buying new gear all the time and always upgrading. For example, if you had never upgraded your camera, you just keep the one for 10 years, every single person done that, there'd be no secondhand market. So people who can't afford a new camera would either have to wait a very, very long time to upgrade, and, you know, by the time that comes out, something new might be out, or they just simply can't get the camera because there's a lack of secondhand market. So in that sense, gas really does help as well. The other positive to it is also it's fun. You know, if you can afford it, what's the problem? Obviously, if you're buying so much camera gear that you're putting yourself in debt, then it's not a good thing. And it's not, you know, regardless if it's helping camera stores or helping the secondhand market, if you're putting yourself broke, it's not good. But if you can afford it and you enjoy getting new gear, you know, for me, being able to write reviews, that kind of stuff, whenever I buy something new, there's no problem with it. And, you know, depending on where you live, I know here, it's not the best secondhand market, but it is good. But we don't have a rental market. So if you can buy brand new and then sell it for maybe $100, $200 at a loss, it's pretty much the same as renting for a long term. If you keep it a few months, 6 months, a year, yeah, there's a loss of a few hundred bucks, but it's just like you rented the lens for that period. So you get to try it out for a bit, you know, own it. You don't have to worry about it being a rental, having to return it too soon. You get all the benefits with not too much negative. So don't feel like you have to stop yourself from buying gear if you can afford it. And, you know, I think for lenses, it's more of a thing. Or, you know, if you're a gear collector, just like to keep buying stuff, having different options, and you actually use all the different gear. Because some people will buy stuff, but they never ever use it. They buy it just because they buy it. Whereas for me, like, you know, even without, if you look outside the cameras, I got two pairs of headphones, I got earbuds, but I use every single one of them daily. When I first bought them, my girlfriend was complaining. She's like, why do you need it? You already got headphones, you're not going to use it. Of course, now she doesn't say a thing, even if I wanted to replace it and buy new ones, because every day, if I go out anywhere, I exercise, earbuds. If I'm home on the PC doing podcasts or work or anything, headphones. I use both of them all day, every day, and I use them a lot, you know, so they get a lot of use. The same with my cameras. I try and limit what each lens is for. The 35 is my general purpose, and then I know I need something wider or landscapes. 50 is general purpose, where it's between, where kind of leaning more towards people. 85, straight up portraits and still life. 100 to 400, cityscapes and birds, you know. Everything has its purpose and everything gets its use whenever you are doing that type of photography. When it comes to the cons, so I don't think there's many. It can be a bit of a waste of money. As I mentioned, you know, you could be putting yourself in debt. If you're buying a new camera sort of every month and getting rid of the other one when you don't need it, you are seeing a slight loss. Well, depending on how much you sell it, maybe you're selling it for a massive loss each time and you don't care because you just want to buy the new stuff, which is a bad thing. There's so many sort of variables to each person's case that makes it sort of different. And, you know, obviously as well, if you're buying lenses, you got no intentions of using much, or in the long term, you're just buying it for the sake of buying it. That's another bad scenario that you definitely shouldn't be doing. The other area is skills. If you think, you know, this is the one you'll probably hear the most around gas, is that you should be focusing on improving your skills. So if you think buying a new body is going to help you take better, less blurry photos, then that's not true. Obviously, there's always an exception to every rule. If you're shooting bird photos and you only have a 24mm and 35mm prime, but you want to do bird photography, I don't think that's going to cut it, no matter how good your skill is and how much you want to crop. You do need something longer. So in that sense, it makes sense. But, you know, I remember there was one guy, he wasn't a proper photographer. You know, he just owned a 5D Mark II for the sake of owning it, just to take photos. He treated it like a point and shoot, and he kept complaining all his shots are blurry, which obviously had nothing to do with that or the 24-105 lens he was using. It was his technique. He didn't know how to use the camera, set an audio and just auto and just whatever. Now, if he, you know, just learned how to use the camera better, he upgraded to a 5D Mark III instead, so he wouldn't get any more blurry photos, which obviously, you know, to me was stupid and such a waste. But he already bought it, and that guy was rich as well, so maybe he didn't care, you know? Pretty much, if your skill is not an issue, if you're, you know, doing everything you can and you know something on a new body would help you. Like you're trying to do some type of action photography and your camera can only hit a max of 5 FPS, whereas you want something like the R6 that can do 20 FPS and, you know, has electronic silent shutter, then go ahead, you know, it's well worth your money. But if, you know, you already got a 1DX Mark II and you just want that 1DX Mark III just for the sake of getting it, you know, not worth it. One more thing I forgot to mention as well in terms of gas. Sometimes it can save you money, just like how I said, you know, why you should upgrade your camera more often. If you upgrade your gear before the new one comes out, you make money off the resale value. You don't lose as much money, so you save money there as well. So spending money to save money, pretty much. You know, buy once, cry once kind of thing. But yeah, that's pretty much it. That's what I would say around gas. And do I think it's a bad thing? Like anything, in moderation, it's okay. As long as you have control of the situation, you're not like spending outside your limits and you're, you know, not upgrading in the thought that you're going to get better images purely because that gear is more expensive, then it's okay to upgrade. As long as you understand what you're doing it for fun, you can afford it, and it's not going to have any negative effects on your, you know, stress levels, work, or, you know, because you're broke, you can't work kind of thing. But as long as you're all fine in that situation, go ahead, buy as much as you want, sell it secondhand. People will happily buy it off you, I'm sure. So that concludes this episode. As always, in the show notes, you can see all the articles to the news we discuss. If you want to check out other tutorials and podcast episodes, you can do it in your favorite podcasting app, or you can check out thephotographyenthusiast.com. All these links are in the show notes. If you want to see my photography, you can check me out, photosbydlwe.com. And you can follow me. I mainly use Flickr because, you know, images are best on there. And I also use Twitter, but be warned, do post a lot of wrestling and non-photography stuff on Twitter. So yeah, this is my like personal sort of thing. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week and see ya.